So we're going to do the song, Psalms 23, so we're going to sing it. First of all, I'd like to say it with you. Do we all know it by heart? Say it. I'm going to read it now, or I'm going to read it. I'm trying to quote it. I have it on my phone just in case. Out of the King James Version, because that's how I memorized it as a child. But let's just say it together, and then we're going to sing it again. Shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures, he makes me lie down. He restores my soul. Right before me, right, we have one more song before the message, and this one is a new one. We were actually going to bring this song back in December before Christmas. It's kind of a Christmas song. So for those of you who really dislike doing Christmas songs outside of the Christmas season, we don't apologize. We're going to do this anyway. I think it's a song that transcends Christmas. I mean, it's a song that we can sing any time of the year. I don't care if we do it in July. But it's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song, and if you know it, I really encourage you to sing it out and join us as we do it. It's called Light of the World. Sing Hallelujah. Carmen's going to lead us in this.
Sing hallelujah,
may be seated.
Good morning. Greetings to each one of you in Christ's name this morning. Thank you, Travis, and the rest of the team for leading us in worship. Happy birthday, by the way, Travis. Thought they were going to serenade you, but I guess that did not happen. But wish him a happy birthday anyway. Trust that you are glad to be here this morning and worship God. I enjoyed that last song, beautiful song of singing praises to the light of the world, our Lord and Savior. Trust that you all had a good holiday, Christmas, New Year, and probably been enjoying some time off throughout the past week, which has been nice with the weather that we've had. And for the message this morning, you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to be reading some scripture there, and we're going to be jumping around a little bit today as we go through this message, looking at some different scriptures. And the title of the message today could be called Searching the Scriptures. And starting in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 22, and a little bit of context for the setting here is that Jesus has entered into Jerusalem for the last days of his life here on earth, and he has cleansed the temple, he has thrown out those who were buying and selling, and overturned the tables there. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He made the blind to see. And he cursed the fig tree, and it instantly withered, and taught in parables a lot in this last week here in Jerusalem, and dealt with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And in the account that we see here, the Sadducees had come to Jesus and they asked him about the resurrection. So we'll go ahead and read starting in verse 23 through 33. The same day, the Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her." And Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. And so, as we look at these verses here, some of you are probably thinking, where is he going to go with these verses? But I'd like to simply just zero in on verse 29 here, where Jesus says, and he answers them, he says, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." And if we think of knowing the power of God, God's power is revealed to us through faith, right? When we have faith, God can unleash his power. And faith comes by hearing, hearing comes from the Word of God. And so Jesus kind of brings those two together when he says that you don't know the Scriptures and you also don't know the power of God. Because if you experience God's power, it's because you have faith, and they did not have faith, and they did not know the Scriptures. And they both work together. And I find it interesting that Jesus didn't respond with, when they asked him a question, he didn't say, "I'm glad you asked," or anything like that, although he does go on to expound to them explain to them the answer to their question of whether whose wife this will be from the seven brothers in the resurrection. So I don't know where all of you are at this morning with your walk with God, in your walk of faith, whether you're comfortable where you're at, or whether you're looking to grow, continue on, or if you're looking for a place to get comfortable. The challenge for us this morning is to continue to strive on. And I've gone on quite a few hunting trips in the mountains of Colorado already, and especially when you're backpacking in to a new place where you want to hunt, you look for a place, you pack everything in with your tent and everything, and you look for a place to pitch your tent, for a place to camp for the duration of the hunt. And so if you're doing that, you look for a place that will be a comfortable place to pitch your tent, for a nice flat area, probably with a stream close by, with fast running water, that you have access to water, a place to pitch your tent so you can lay flat. So you're looking for a place to get comfortable. And if we think about that in our walk of faith, how many of us are comfortable or are looking for a comfortable place to pitch your tent? And Eric Ludi from Ellerslie, he talks about that, and talks about never pitching your tent, never looking for a place to pitch your tent, to always continue to be pushing on into the wilderness. They actually have shirts that they have made, and it says, "The Endless Frontier." In other words, Christianity is the endless frontier. We're always looking to continue on, to never pitch your tent. And so I'm going to propose to you this morning that one of the best ways for you and I to never pitch our tent, to continue to strive on and to do and be what God wants us to be doing and who he wants us to be, is to dig into God's Word, to dig into the Scriptures and see and building your relationship with God. And as we see here in the verse today, that Jesus responds with, "You're mistaken," or I believe the King James Version says that, you err because you don't know the Scriptures. And the answers to a lot of life's questions, or all of life's questions really, can be found in the Scriptures, and Jesus often responded with the Scriptures whenever he was asked questions. Couple examples of that are when he was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, he responded with, "It is written," a certain lawyer in Luke 10, verse 25 says, a certain lawyer tested Jesus, asking him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And his response was, what is written? What is written in the law, and what is your reading of it? And so often we see Jesus responding in that way to people who knew the scriptures or should have known the scriptures. And then for those who sought him diligently with an open mind, he would answer a lot more plainly. But for those who tried to maybe catch him in what he was saying, he would simply respond with what is written, or find your answers in the scriptures. And I believe for all of us this morning, as we go through life, we can find a lot of the answers that we need in the scriptures. And so the question is, how well do you know the scriptures? How much time are you spending in digging in and getting to know the scriptures? And I hope you're not just depending on what you get here on Sunday mornings, because we have, all of us have the Bible, have God's Word, have access to the scriptures, and hopefully we're digging in and looking to see what God has for us. With the new year, I would venture to guess that some of you are probably making a resolution to read through the Bible. That often the beginning of the year is the time to do that, and that's great. And also seeking God through prayer, just being intentional. Hopefully that's your resolution, if you have made any this year, to be intentional in drawing closer to God and seeking God through His Word, spending time every day in God's Word. So what I'd like to do is share some insight or ways to approach your time spent searching the Scriptures. It is the book of life. It is the book that gives us the way to life. And it's the greatest book ever written, the top bestseller ever sold, 5 to 7 billion copies, and with a world population of a little over 8 billion people, that's almost a Bible for every person. Now, obviously, that 5 to 7 billion number comes from all time, but still, it makes you wonder how many people are actually reading the Bibles that they have. It does need to be read for it to have an impact. And so, inspired by God through the Holy Spirit, Peter writes that. He says that no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. No scripture is given of private interpretation, but it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's in 2 Peter chapter 1. And then he also talks about being eyewitnesses to Jesus. He talks about hearing God's voice from heaven, seeing Jesus personally, experiencing the things that he did. But he goes on to say that those experiences only confirmed what was written of him in the scriptures, and how that was kind of held that higher than even the personal experiences that he had with him. They simply confirmed what had been written about him and prophesied about him. And so, like I said, I'd like to share some practical applications that we can apply when we spend time with God's Word, when we read. If you have a pen, you can jot down. There's 7, I think, steps. And you write these on the back of your bulletin. And so the first one is to always have in view, always have in your mind the end reason of why the scriptures were written as you read the Bibles. Have in view why they were written. And the short answer to that is so that we may know the way to salvation, so that we may know salvation through Jesus Christ. The Bible starts out with Adam and ends with Jesus. In Adam, we are sinners, and in Christ, we have redemption. And we have, through Adam, all of us die. Through Christ, we have life. And that is the main gist of the whole scriptures, is to reveal to us that we are on our way, we are sinners on our way to death, and through Christ we have redemption, we have life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus." And that sums it up right there. And then John 3:16, a verse that we all know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And that there's a reason why that's probably the most popular verse. It sums up the whole Bible so well. And is having that end in view, searching the scriptures, looking for the life that Jesus gives us. If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of John, I'm going to be looking at a couple of verses here in John chapter 5 that I'd like to point out to you. Jesus has healed a man on the Sabbath day, and the Jews are actually out to kill him. And so he's contending back and forth with them here. And John 5, verse 24, Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." And so, he who believes in me has passed from death to life. Death through Adam, life through Christ Jesus. He says, he who hears and believes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. Verse 26 of John chapter 5 says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." Verse 27, "He has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." As God has life in himself, God holds life in his hands. He holds your life. He holds my life. He holds the breath of life. He is the one who gives life, and he takes life. And so Jesus is saying, as the Father has that life in his hands, so he has also given it to the Son. And he has given Jesus that life and also the authority to give it to those who believe in him, and also to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man, and he's also God in flesh. Jumping down to verses 39, 40, Jesus again rebukes them. He says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But Jesus knew. That in verse 42 it says, I know that you did not have the love of God in you. So Jesus knew their hearts. He knew that they were full of pretense, and that they, even though they say they searched the scriptures, or even that they did not know God, and they did not have the love of God in them. Verse 45, 46, 47, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? And so, like I said, they tried to pretend that they were good Jews. They pretended to be followers of God, but Jesus saw right through them. He knew in verse 42 that they did not have the love of God in them. Deuteronomy 18, 15 and 15 through 18. I'm going to read those. If you care to turn to them, you can. But these are the verses that Jesus is referring to, that were prophesied all the way back in the scriptures that they had. It says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. And so God is saying that he's going to raise up a prophet like Moses. And then in verse 18 he says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. I will require his life. Jesus goes on to say that a prophet is judged by his works. In verse 22 there, at the end of chapter 18, he says, if the thing does not happen or not come to pass, the thing which the Lord has not spoken, or if it is a thing which the Lord has not spoken, then that prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him. So he's saying that a prophet can be judged by the works that they do, whether what they say will come true or whether it will not come true. And I find it interesting that if you go back to John 5, that's exactly what Jesus did in the middle of this chapter, was starting in verse 31 there, he talks about how his works and that all the works that he has done bear witness of him and who he is. And that is written right there in Deuteronomy 18 for them to judge a prophet by his works. And Jesus, they have obviously seen all the works that he did, and he's telling them that by my works you should be able to tell who I am. But they missed out on life in verse 40. It says, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life, because they didn't know the scriptures, they didn't recognize him for who he was. So read with the mindset of finding Jesus, finding salvation, finding life, kind of the long and short of why we have the Bible, why we have the scriptures, why God has given us this story. Really, it's for the whole world. It's not just for us here today. It's not just for Christians. God wants the whole world to read the scriptures, to read the Bible. It can be a tool for sharing the gospel. You might feel like you can't share the gospel with somebody. Simply hand them a Bible. The power of God can be revealed and unleashed in a person's life through simply reading the scriptures. The second one is search the scriptures with a humble, childlike spirit. Jesus said, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so search the scriptures in humility with a childlike spirit. Jesus goes on to say, therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Those are found in Matthew 18 and Matthew 11. And he goes on to say, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, all you who are burdened, come to me. Seek him in humility, and you will find him. The third one, search the scriptures with sincerity. Be sincere in your reading, in what you read. And read with a desire to practice what you read, to practice what you see. Desire to do the will of God. And we find God's will in the scriptures, and read with a desire to be obedient to what God shows you. John chapter 7, verse 17. Says, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Knowing the will of God is to seek sincerely and be willing to do his will. And then he says to them, did not Moses give you the law? Verse 19, yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? And so he again brings out to them the scriptures where they could have seen who he is and recognized him, yet they didn't know the scriptures. Matthew chapter 13, going back to the book of Matthew here, look at a couple verses here, verses 10 through 17. Jesus brings out why he spoke in parables, why he taught in parables so much. The disciples came and asked him, they said, why do you speak in parables? And he said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. And he goes on to repeat that. But and in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And he's talking about him hearing himself, being the one who was prophesied about. And so I believe what he's saying here with the parables, that is, if you seek and if you read and you have no desire to actually apply and to do what God wants to do, then He will not reveal Himself. You will not be able to. And I've experienced that in sharing the gospel with people who have no desire to know Jesus. And God hides Himself from those kind of people until they seek Him with a sincere heart. Search the Scriptures with sincerity and desire to do what God wants you to do. John 9, 35 through 41. John, or we see the example of the blind man that Jesus healed. Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. And they were again after him. And it says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. They actually had cast out the man who was healed, whose blindness was healed. And he found him, and he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And then he answered, and he says, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you." So we see the example here of somebody who sought him in sincerity. He had no pretense, no preconceived ideas, and just a simple, humble heart to be obedient to the person that healed him from his blindness. We also see that example in his interaction with the Samaritan woman at the well, where she simply asked him who the Messiah is, and he responded very clearly with that it is he who is talking to you. I that speak to you and am he. And so if sought in sincerity, God reveals himself. Jesus goes on to say in verse 41 of John chapter 9 there, he says, "If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you see," or "now you say we see, therefore your sin remains." So he's saying if you would recognize your lostness and that you're in darkness, if you were blind, you would be able to see me. And if you recognized what state you were in, you would be able to see me. But because you see, because you think you see, you're lost, and therefore your sin remains, he says. The fourth one, as you read, apply everything to your own heart. Apply it to yourself. All Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so read it, and apply it to yourself to be able to be changed, to be obedient, to be who God wants you to be, who God wants me to be. The fifth one, desire to attain by the Spirit which these words were written. Desire to receive the Holy Spirit and to read the Scriptures with the Holy Spirit revealing to you what is being read, what is spoken. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you care to turn to that, I'm going to read. Starting in verse 10, it says, "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit." For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been given to us by God. And so through the Holy Spirit, we understand, we are enlightened. God gives us a much greater understanding of the Scriptures, brings light and understanding. And we see that because of the lack of the Holy Spirit, the disciples, Nicodemus, they were often kind of, they didn't understand. They asked Jesus, how can this be? Nicodemus, when Jesus said, you must be born again, couldn't understand, and because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, and there was a much harder to understand what was written. But once the Holy Spirit came, enlightenment was given of the Scriptures. In John 16, Jesus says that the coming of the Holy Spirit will guide them in all truth. And we see in Acts 4 how the people marveled over Peter and John, and it says that they marveled that they were uneducated and untrained, and yet they spoke with great authority and great knowledge, because then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so as we close here, a couple more that I'm going to share briefly here, to search prayerfully. Be in prayer as you search the Scriptures. Even throughout reading, ask God to reveal to you, and then to always be seeking every day. Seeking God, spending time in God's Word, and continuing to strive on, never looking to pitch your tent. Brenda, if you want to throw up that kernel Bible reading plan, I don't know how well you can see that. It's kind of light. But if you want to take a picture of that, you're welcome to. I know there's a lot of Bible apps, and I've used them, that take you through the Scriptures in a year, or you can do two-year plans, whatever. But this is one, I actually haven't done this yet, but I like it, and it's different because it doesn't give you a set amount of Scriptures to read every day, where like a Through the Bible app would. This just allows you to read in the time that you have. And I'm not saying that this is nice because you don't have to spend as much time. Take the time, but it allows you to simply go at whatever pace. It to me, it's more about quality than quantity. And it gives you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday where to read. So whatever day of the week it is tells you where to read in the Scriptures. So you're probably going to have 5 or 6 bookmarks in your Bible. But a big thing is having a purpose, having a plan when you're reading the Scriptures. If you just open up your Bible every day, you really don't get that much out of it. You can, but the motivation to read and search the Scriptures is not there. I find that for myself. If I don't have a plan that I'm going through or a purpose, it's easy to just brush it off. And so this allows you to read through at your own pace, but it also has you throughout the whole Bible. It says Mondays, read from Genesis, from the law, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Then Tuesdays, you're reading history from Joshua to Esther. Wednesday, the poetry books. Thursdays, the prophets. And Friday, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Saturdays, the remaining of the New Testament, remainder. And then Sundays, you get to choose from whatever section. So just something that I thought was interesting to do. I'd be interested in hearing from you guys, if any of you decide to do that, what your thoughts are. But never pitch your tent. Always be striving to continue on into the endless frontier, into the wilderness, and continue to seek God for your life. So thank you for being here. We will close with a word of prayer, and blessings to your week. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, we come to you here, and we're grateful for the scriptures that you have given us. God, we're grateful that you have shown us our sinful state that we are born into through Adam, and also the redemption and the salvation that we experience through Jesus Christ. Lord, as we go from here today, as we go throughout this week and the coming year, Lord, as we look into your word and into the scriptures that hold the answers to life, that hold eternal life, that give us direction, give us power, Lord, we look to you. We ask for your guidance. We ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to reveal to us truth. Reveal to us your will, your plan for each one of us, for our lives. And Lord, help us to be a witness to you, Jesus, and to your kingdom. And just as we interact and as we go through life, God, may your love flow through us, shine through us. May we be a light for you in this world. And God, may your protection and your blessing rest upon each person that is here today. Go with us as we go from here. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.